Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, What's Right with This Church?
Our reading comes from the first book of John. Let us listen to God's word for us. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. And all who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of our Lord.
It is so very good to have the choir back with us. I want to mention the beautiful hymn, the anthem they just sang, was commissioned by TAB in honor of Matt Kaufman and 25 years of serving as our director of music ministries. So will you thank both ways? Beautiful, just beautiful. Let me read this same passage from 1 John another time, this time taken from The Message, a translation by Eugene Peterson. He writes, "My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're truly living, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we are bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what is asked for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love one another in line with the original command. And as we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep, abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. Amen." And let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of worship this day, this opportunity to gather in your name, to lift our voices in prayer and in praise, and now to silence our voices so that we can sit beneath the teaching of your word. We would pray, O Lord, that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight, for it is you and you alone we desire to please, and that through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I grew up in a family that loved to sing together. Some of my earliest childhood memories of all of us being in the car on a Sunday afternoon, taking a drive, singing together songs like "Shine on Harvest Moon" and "Katie" and "You Are My Sunshine." But there is one song in particular, admittedly far less popular, that I simply have never been able to get out of my ear. Now, I'm wondering if you know this song. It goes like this. "Wake me bright and early when your hair is not so curly, and I'll still be true. If I am awakened to the same old eggs and bacon, I will still be true. If I find that you're the owner of a dirty silk kimono, I will still be true, but not to you." Now, go figure. I don't even know what that song means. But here's what I took it to mean when I was a kid, and I think it means still. That we really like the idea. It is easy for us to be in love with another, when he or she is looking his or her best, but not so much when they're not. We like the ideal more than we do the particular, and many of us feel the same way about the church. We like the ideal of the church in the abstract more than we do in the specific, in its reality as it really is, when its hair is not so curly or it's wearing a dirty silk kimono. Madeline Murray O'Hare famously said of the church, "The one really formidable argument against the truth of the Christian religion is the record of the Christian church." And another critique that dates all the way back to the Middle Ages was, "The church is like Noah's Ark. If it weren't for the storm on the outside, you couldn't stand the stench on the inside." Now, it's popular today to be very critical of the church, and perhaps rightly so. We have many faults. In many ways, the church, though, is a very odd institution. It is both earthly and eternal. It is both human and divine. It is local and it is universal by nature, all of which make it susceptible to the critique, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it so aptly, "It is easier to love your dream of community than the reality of the community you actually know." Some get frustrated with the church that they experience in the particular, so they set off to find the perfect church. Now, there are two problems with that. First is, if you find the perfect church, don't join it, because then it'll no longer be perfect anymore. And secondly, we can't really leave the church because we are the church. So in an age when it's popular to talk about all that's wrong with the church, I'd like for us to think today about what's right with the church. The church eternal, the church universal, and on this 166th anniversary of our founding, this church in particular, TAB. Now, there's no attempt on my part for any prideful self-promotion of who we are or of what we do here. There are many areas that we are not living up to our God-given calling or fulfilling Christ's great commands. But I will tell you that I am very proud, and I mean that in the spiritually appropriate way. I am very proud of who we are and the work that we do, and I love to tell TAB stories. I tell TAB stories from the past. I tell TAB stories from the present. I tell TAB stories about what we hope to do still in the future. And so with as much humility as we can muster, let's give an honest appraisal of what we are doing right and together affirm what the church must be and must do if we're going to call ourselves the Church of Jesus Christ. For starters, the church, and by this I mean any church, but let's think specifically of TAB for a moment, the church must be committed to Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and consider him the foundation of everything that we say and do. It was founded by him. It bears his name as his body. So in a very real sense, it's not our church. It is his church. The church in every instance is founded on the teachings of Christ, on the sacrifice of the cross, on the promise of the resurrection, on the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And because he is alive and active in the world, so the church also is called to be alive and active in the world as his hands and feet. And if we do this, we as the church, despite all of our shortcomings, will be in the right. If in our mission and ministry we prayerfully seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit and obey the Spirit's promptings, then again, we will be in the right, because the Spirit is in the right. We're more than just a collection of like-minded people who enjoy one another's company, at least most of the time, right? We're not just a collection of people who have the same kind of sense of well-being for our community. There are many organizations that can frame themselves around those principles, but the church is fundamentally different. You see, we are called and gathered and led and guided and instructed and empowered and encouraged by the very Spirit of God. And when we as pastors and we as deacons and elders and teachers and church members trust and pray and breathe the Spirit of Christ, then we as the church will be in the right. Now, again, I'm not saying that that will always lead us to right attitudes or actions, but I do believe that what we will be then is open to the Spirit's guidance, open to the new thing that God is calling us to do and be, which will move us in the right direction. John Calvin argued that the church is in the right when the Word of God is faithfully preached and the sacraments rightly administered. And I have every confidence that we're being faithful in this way, at least in the essentials, leaving a great bandwidth for our disagreement in the non-essentials. We are right as a church when we are actively seeking to meet the needs of our members and of our non-members alike. When we're seeking to demonstrate the kingdom of God, as our mission statement puts it so clearly. When we desire greater faith, deeper relationships, and a stronger community, as our vision renewal statement report states. The church is intended to be not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners, a place of welcome and of healing, of aid and reconciliation. When I first felt called to TAB, now nearly a decade ago, I was most impressed and inspired by the two-legged approach to the gospel that we as a church have been able to historically take. An evangelical witness from the pulpit, and active social engagement in the community around us. Now, that combination is surprisingly rare in churches. Churches tend to bias towards one or the other of those. But TAB has a 166-year history of being committed to both. We moved from our very first location down right around the circle area all the way out to 11th and Meridian, because there were too many churches in that concentrated part of the city. In 1921, we moved all the way up here to 34th and Central because there were too few churches in this community, and there were no churches who were offering Christian education to the children of the Mapleton Fall Creek community because it was so far out. One of the stories I love to tell about TAB is the very first year we opened our doors for Christian education, we had 100 kids show up. And the second year, 1,100 kids show up. TAB moved to the Mapleton Fall Creek neighborhood to help meet a particular need, and we stayed because we believe that there are needs which still exist that we can be a part of addressing. When we drafted our vision renewal statement, we started with a shared agreement that we were staying at 34th and Central. We still believe now, even as we did in 1921, that God has called us to this place and that we have a work of ministry to do in His name right here. Wherever I go in this city, and my guess is the same happens to you, if you are identified as being from TAB, someone has a TAB story to tell. Most often it has something to do with the rec department. 93 years of young people playing ball here at TAB. Or maybe it has something to do with one of the ministries we've launched, the Raphael Health Clinic right across the street, the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic on Meridian Street, the Unleavened Bread Cafe, the Oaks Academy, and the list goes on and on. You see, our desire for 166 years has been to be the hands and feet of Christ, a light for Christ in this community. And we've got our fingerprints, or His fingerprints, nearly everywhere we go. If one mark of the church is caring for the needs of our members and of our community, then we are in the right. And one final mark I'd add is that a church is in the right when it actively seeks justice and peace and reconciliation. The third leg of our vision renewal statement defines a stronger community in this way. TAB will work in partnership with its neighbors to strengthen the Mapleton Fall Creek community, advocate for justice, and promote God's shalom for all people. Now, admittedly, there's a lot of work that we have to do in this area, even within this part of the community, much less in our neighborhood, in the larger metropolitan area. There's work that needs to be done to promote economic justice and educational justice and racial reconciliation. There are still far too many children in our community who live in unsafe homes and go to failing schools and don't feel safe on our city streets. And there's a part that we have to play in meeting those needs, not for our neighbors, but alongside and with our neighbors. A church is in the right when it seeks a redeemed soul in a redeemed body in a redeemed community. Our scripture lesson says this exactly. In many ways, it summarizes the entire gospel message when it says, "And this is God's commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us." There's one statement in the Vision Renewal Report that both challenges and inspires me as we now enter our 167th year of ministry together. And I quote, "As much as we see this as a statement of vision, we see it as a challenge to the people of TAB, a challenge to accept that the legacy we have built is a foundation on which to build again, not a place to rest, a challenge to push into new territories, not simply defend what we have, a challenge to never grow complacent in our work, our faith, or our love of one another, but rather to strive always to go farther and deeper. In short, we see it as a challenge to grow beyond what we are and to become something greater for the kingdom of God." I know an English professor who will fill even a page that he has graded with an A. He will fill it with red marks and underlinings. Based on this contention, there is no paper that is too good not to be made better. And I believe the same about the church. And I believe the same about TAB. In recent months, my wife, Kristen, has unintentionally overheard two different conversations in which the conversants were talking about the church. The first was in a coffee shop, and a woman at the table next to hers was ranting and raving to her table mates about her church, specifically being critical of her pastor. As she talked about the incident or the perceived affront she had received, her voice got louder, her gestures got bigger and bolder, despite the attempts of her friends to calm her down and change the subject. It was awkward for Chris, not only because she's a pastor's wife and wanted to defend in any way that she could the action or the inaction of this woman's pastor or her church, but more than that, she wanted to speak up for the church. She wanted to find a way to say to this woman in private that what she was doing was not healthy and it was not helpful, either for her or for her church or for the church. She wanted to say to her, if I wasn't a Christian or if I was looking for a church home, I would never come to the church that you've described. You see, I've heard you talk about it and your pastor. And unfortunately, she never got that opportunity to have that conversation. Well, she also overheard another conversation unintentionally in a restaurant. And the people she overheard talking just happened to be talking about TAB. Now, that's an awkward situation to be in, isn't it? And I know she started thinking, where's this conversation going to go? But as she listened, she started hearing about the good things that were happening, about the tutoring program and the Fresh Start ministry, about a stadium project and a new gym floor, and these people had just joined a small group and they were meeting new people. Now, they could have been talking about any church that day. They just happened to be talking about TAB, and they were talking about what was right with the church. So I wonder with you, if someone happens to overhear you talking about the church, what would they hear you say? Would they hear you talk about all that's wrong with the church, all of her faults and foibles, or about something that's right? Would they be drawn to the church that you speak of, or pushed away from it? Admittedly, there is much about the church in the particular that is not right. And so let us commit together to doing all that we can to make it better, to make it righter. But let us also never lose our love for the church in its ideal, much less our love for the church, even when it has a dirty silk kimono. Because this is the church Christ came to call into service in his name for a world he came to save. And he's invited us to be a part of it, even the likes of us. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we are humbled that you have invited us to be a part of your church, to be named by your name, to be empowered to do ministry in your name. And so, Lord, if you're going to renew your church, begin right here among us and start with me. Lord, hear our prayer.